Yep.
Okay, let's start.
Now you have to be quiet.
Yes, no ticking and typing or internet browsing while I'm talking. Please. I'll try to keep it short. I don't have too much content, but...
Let's spread it out a little time.
Yes. So, I'm the author of Gorgo's Music Manager. It has kind of a couple of years of history. Actually, the logo wasn't originally for my music manager. It was used for my other program called Gurgles, which was a DVD player front end for Ogle. And you may know Ogle. I think it was the first DVD player on Linux that could actually show all the menus and you could navigate it, basically. I think it kind of disappeared from development and from the earth, basically. And also, I think main because they don't do like deinterlacing. It used to be a really great program. At least my front end could, you know, do bookmarks, make screenshots with bookmarks at the same time. Remember where you were playing in the DVD. So, but in the end, I decided that since I got a TV and a DVD player itself, I wasn't using it much anymore. So I needed a new hobby, basically. And that's where this came in. I started ripping all my CDs to my computer, and I noticed that XMMS, which I used at the time, wasn't really handy to manage your music. It just gave you one playlist, basically. And I thought, you know, I can do this better. I had seen iTunes, and I thought, gee, this cannot be too hard, you know. It's just list some, you know, artists, some albums, and some songs, and you know, just hook something up, you know, and play it, basically. So I created. Let me first show you. It's very iTunes-like. No shame in admitting that. I kind of like the way they do it. Actually, never used iTunes. I only saw screenshots and the sources pane that wasn't there in the initial version. I didn't have any playlist support like this. So initially, it kind of looked like this, basically. So what does it consist of? So I use Fox Toolkit for the user interface. It's kind of like Qt, since it's written in C++. I also use it at work, so that's one of the main reasons I still use it. It has a very nice API to work with. There are some downsides to it though, which is it's nowadays not as maintained as it used to be. Not many new features are added, and it kind of looks outdated. It has the, as you can see, the Windows look and feel from, you know, 95, 98, basically. For the playback engine, I use Zine. At the time, I was looking for a good, you know, media backend, basically. And I first was looking at MPlayer, but they didn't have a very nice library to work with, although you can use it remotely from a different application. GStreamer, I don't think it existed yet, or in the early stages. And Zine is very easy to use. Very nice API. I mean, it does have its also its shortcomings, but more on that later. Taglib reads and writes the most common tags in music files. It's pretty good, it's extensible, and it's nice, so yeah. And the last one is the SQLite. Basically, what I do, import some music into the program, store all the metadata in the database, basically. The nice thing about this one is it's you don't need to have a database server running or anything. The user doesn't have to configure anything, so it works all automatically, so which is nice. Also, optionally that it's meaning that it can be you can compile your goals without these components. Number one is dbus. I really like dbus. I use it for like the notifications when a song is playing, for example. But you can also use it to remotely query the program as well to find out what's playing right now, for example. Also, I make use of like the GNOME settings daemon, which, for example, sends out certain media key presses as well. And nice thing is I don't have to link to any of these GNOME or GTK libraries, basically. I'll do link to dbus, and it's very nice to have sort of a lightweight connection to the rest of the Linux desktop. And the last one, Zion doesn't support all playlist formats, and for example, the M3U playlist format, I need to download that myself, and so I use curl and xfat for some other parsing as well. So the usual workflow is this: when you start the music manager, you need to import some music files into your database, basically. The certain programs, the competitors, as I would like to call it, you have to tell them, well, this is directly where all my media files are stored, and will automatically start scanning them, basically. I kind of do something similar, but I can use any directory, basically, and it's not really a setting that you need to that you cannot change, basically. So it could be from any hard drive that you may have connected to your computer, basically. We support the most popular formats. Myself, I only use the first two. The other ones were kind of added for requested by other people, basically. And so we need to gather all this information of all these music, and we do it in three different ways, basically. Hopefully, your music collection has an embedded tag in it with correct information. If you rip your own music or you got it legally, usually that's the case. But it also happens that sometimes that's not the case if you got it from some other sources as well. And sometimes the whole tag is missing. So I have a second option, and you basically you can parse the file name itself, which may contain some useful information. From the track as well. So, and last, you can always edit the track information after import, and actually write back the tag to to the file. So let me show you. Of course, I don't really have a full database here, but I can empty it out. So this is how you import music, basically. Just tell it which directory. And here we have some options to say where do we want to get our information from. My files are always correctly tagged, so no problem there. But as you can see, I have a file name, a sort of template, and it basically uses, you know, given the file name, you know, it will scan and try to get the information from the file name.
If you choose both, how does it handle contradictions?
Okay, so when you do both, it first will read the tag, basically.
Okay.
And if any of the fields are missing, it will use the second portion as well, basically. And the default value that you can see here, that's when nothing is found, when nothing is scanned, it will use that in whatever field it will read, basically. So.
And you thought about adding support for music brains? So I use that in Amarok at home, and it's real nice if there's no info at all. Mm-hmm. It'll just generate a fingerprint from it, and it's almost always right.
I thought about it, but I haven't had time to implement it yet. It's kind of my music manager designed for me, and my music collection is perfect with all the tags already complete. I thought about it, and it's become a little bit easier since at first I didn't have an XML parser within my music manager, since I didn't really need one. But since I added the one this year, I think I'm thinking about adding extra, you know, web services and such. So I don't want to get this to make this too long here. So and there's some options to also exclude certain file names during imports. So you can do it on folders and files. So you can say, well, you know, I can exclude, for example, all the MP3 files, for example. So it's a very simple file pattern, basically. Things you want to skip. And you have to wait before the import. I've had a lot of requests, people asking me, please, during the import I want to play music already. It may come in the next version, but I'm still working on it. It's kind of difficult. Here's everything is imported, and let's go back to I also have an option on internet radio stream. There's no automatic import or anything, you just have to enter the manually. Just a given URL and the name you want to give to it, basically. We have various play options. Gapless playback. There are several issues there. A lot of MP3s, the way they are stored is they have a fixed number of frames of music, basically. And there's always at the end of the of an MP3 file some noise, basically, that you shouldn't play, basically. So basically, if you play Pink Floyd, The Dark Side of the Moon, you don't want to hear any silence in between the tracks, basically. Unfortunately, Zion has an option to have this gapless playback, but it's not really good. So it sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't. But if it works, it's really nice. So, but unfortunately, Zion is kind of getting worse. Let's just say that. Also have a Last.fm submission. Any tracks you play, you can hook up to your Last.fm account, basically, and it will list it there. There's also a other party service that's similar to Last.fm, uses the same API, I also support that you have to do some fiddling, but it's documented somewhere. And there are various playback options, you know, repeat, repeat all, maybe shuffle, and we have a sleep timer. So besides listening to music, it's also a music manager, so you can create playlists. Play those playlists, of course. You can edit tags, rename files. Basically, there's lots of options to basically organize your music in the way you want it, basically. The tag editing is I use it a lot myself. There are some dedicated tag editing software, and I think mine is pretty good in competing with them, basically. You can do a right click on a track and you can say edit, basically. You can fill in all the fields, and then you have an option to say, I'm going to save this to the file, or another option to rewrite, or rename the file that is named after. So here again we have another sort of a template pattern, and you have various options to name your files, basically. It's very handy, especially if all your files are grown, have grown names, and you want to have them neatly organized in a nice directory structure, basically. So, so example. So I have my music neatly organized, and basically by artist, and then, you know, from artist you get all the albums, and then you get all the files, basically. And if you wanted to write something like that as a pattern, you could just start easily just having a... So here you know, writing your own home directory, basically, starting with the album artist, and then the album name, and then the track number, and the track title. There's also conditional support, which is handy if you want to, for example, append the disc number, for example, to the album name. But some tracks don't have disc numbers, so you only want to have that disc number when it's actually there. And you can use the conditional for that, basically. There's also some options to, you know, which characters you don't want to use in your file names. Plus the encoding recipe of the
So when using conditionals, do you append the percent sign with the question mark, or do you replace the percent sign with the question mark?
Yeah, you replace the percent sign with the question mark. So you could, so if I wanted to add this number here, I want to, for example, percent D, basically. And basically, it's if it's there, basically, you want to say, for example, so you make a conditional around this. And you want that extra space here so that so it will fit nicely with the element. This is optional actually, so. So if it's not empty, we show this percent D. Otherwise we don't show it. It's pretty good. Plus some other options to lowercase and replace spaces with underscore stuff. And it works very well. You can basically, if you say update found, then you can just save and pull rewrite those files. You can also edit multiple tracks at once. Anything that you fill in will basically will be applied to tracks. Anything you leave out, basically, it won't touch it, basically. So this is a very quick way to say, you know, want to change the year of all the tracks, or I want to renumber the tracks as well, or you want to just say update the tag or update the file name, basically. Okay. Another more powerful feature is the sync folder. It kind of works like import folder, except it has some more operations. I noticed I was missing that sometimes I wanted to just import something, but I kind of regretted it, and I wanted to get rid of it a bit. And I didn't know where, which tracks were all coming from, where, somewhere, basically. So. That's why we have the sync folder. We have some additional operations. So the import new tracks is the works the same as the import folder, basically. Now the remove tracks that have been deleted from this obviously will, for the given directory that you select here, it will remove any file in the database that's not on disk anymore. You can also update the tag data with the update existing tracks. And also, like the last option was really nice. It basically tells you any track that's found in the selected folder will be removed from the database. So that's a very easy way to say, you know, some scratch, unsorted music, remove them from the database, from this directory. So it's kind of an, it's kind of like the import folder, it has a little bit more more options. So compared to the competitors, I'm doing actually quite well, I think. The actual numbers are not as interesting